The contents of this page have not been reviewed or endorsed by the Chicago Bulls. All opinions expressed by Sam Smith are solely his own and do not reflect the opinions of the Chicago Bulls or their basketball operations staff, parent company, partners, or sponsors. His sources are not known to the Bulls, and he has no special access to information beyond the access and privileges that go along with being an NBA-accredited member of the media.
Hi, it's Sam Smith. Welcome back to my sixth or seventh or eighth annual podcast. Well, it's not actually annual. It's weekly. And I think we got some improvements. My podmasters, Jeremy and Matt, informed me that I had a metronome background sound working recently, which was kind of interesting. I mean, I think I was trying to hum some old Frank Sinatra tunes, and perhaps it knocked the device out of kilter. Anyway, they got rid of it, and so if you're keeping time to this, you're going to have to do it on your own from now on. So with a couple of weeks left in the regular season, well, first, I'm not going to talk about Derrick Rose. Well, of course, now I just mentioned his name, so I kind of did talk about him, but I'm not going to talk about him. I'm going to talk about the last couple of weeks of the season, positioning, and not necessarily throwing games, which mostly goes on with the bad teams, although you can't tell because they're bad teams, so they're losing most of their games anyway. But that said, the Eastern Conference, as we talked about some, is pretty well settled. Well, it basically is settled. Everybody through six, and the Bulls have already clinched playoff spots. Boston and Milwaukee is just a matter of a game or two, even though both have not played great. And even though Milwaukee has looked buried in the eighth spot, Boston is going to do everything it can to get down to eight. So I understand that the older players, Pierce and Garnett, you know, most of their older guys would just like a couple of days in the warm weather in Miami before they head out for the season, rather than waste their time in Indiana or New York, get blown out there, and still have to wear a winter coat. So Paul Pierce, not that dumb, as it turned out. Danny Ainge, who received, which was kind of, I felt, the biggest entertainment of the week that sprung from the Bulls breaking Miami's winning streak. LeBron afterwards. And I didn't think, I've written this, I didn't believe that LeBron believed those were flagrant fouls, even though he said they were, and Kirk Heinrichs and Taj Gibson. He was just so frustrated about losing that streak, which you could tell he really, really wanted, and didn't bring up the foul issue himself. Was brought up by a Miami TV announcer who was nearly in tears, as I recall seeing it. And LeBron sort of muttered on about hard fouls, and what you should do sometime is, we've all seen it. I mean, LeBron went six games without a foul being called on him, six straight games. I think he's had 16 games this year with no foul. It's virtually impossible, the best player in the league who's an all-defensive player, to have zero fouls for six straight games. So it's kind of laughable of all guys to complain about it. But you should watch sometimes. Sometimes I just watch LeBron and Wade during the game, and they'll stop half dozen times or more and to just lobby the referees. Officials are human, and they do need autographs for their kids from time to time, or relatives. Also, you'll see LeBron deliver as many hard fouls, and certainly without calls. So he knows that, and he's a good competitor. He really wanted to win, and good for him. I mean, the funny part was Pat Riley cursing out Danny Ainge, who'd questioned it like the rest of us, but in a statement, which I later interpreted as Pat, who I have great fondness for, actually, and I go back with him a long way, his answer in his own way to street crime, that if you could fax people threats and curses, there'd be less opportunity for physical violence. Anyway, that said, I've digressed again, and it's probably 50-50 if I'll even remember what I was talking about, but probably was talking about the Eastern Conference playoff setup, and it's gone. Obviously, Miami's going to be number one. Miami's going to beat eight, be it Boston or Milwaukee. Milwaukee has a shot of passing them because Boston is in a Garnett's been in and out hurt. Obviously, Rondo's out. After their 14-4 start, it seems clear that they do need Rondo after all. 14-4 after he got hurt. And all this talk about, we heard about, oh, he caused all these turnovers and threw things out. And boy, if we could only get Avery Bradley in there, who must be shooting about 8% or something last couple of weeks. Anyway, so one of those teams going to be knocked out by Miami. And the interesting part of the race is, you know, it looks like Indiana, New York will probably be 2-3. And that next bunch with Brooklyn, the Bulls, Atlanta is going to kind of be interesting. I mean, obviously, the notion is, well, you want to avoid 4-5 because 1-8, which is Miami, plays 4-5 in the second round. But just take a look at the Bulls. And since this is a podcast on Bulls.com, and as I think I'm supposed to mention, you can subscribe to it on iTunes. And even though I don't believe you get any gifts, I think you can take ownership and feel pretty good about yourself if you're an iTunes subscriber to my podcast. Nothing exactly you would brag about on the L, but nevertheless, I think a good warm feeling personally. Anyway, that said, you know, looking at the Bulls' record, they had lost the season series to Indiana, but won pretty handily the last game, played a good physical game. And you know, Thibodeau's not going to get the coach of the year consideration he got the first couple of years, won it 2 years ago, finished second to Popovich last year, could have won, had the best record in the league with Derrick Rose missing 27 games. But this season with this, not only with Derrick being out, and I was kind of optimistic among predictors before the season, picking 47 wins. But that was considering most guys would be healthy. And with, you know, Noah out as much as he's been out with the plantar fasciitis, Taj Gibson taken several weeks out, Kirk Gibson is hurt too. He's always limping around. But as it happens, Kirk Heinrich, and Gibson doesn't play for the Bulls, or never did. But Kirk Heinrich does. And you see that clever transition. I should be on radio really to do that. And Kirk's had about a half dozen injuries, and you know Nate Robinson has stepped in entertainingly in a lot of respects. Jimmy Butler has become a local hero and is penciled in from at least the fan view as either a small forward or shooting guard Hall of Famer for the team. I think they're hoping, but he does have a chance. I mean, he is really the most athletic player on the team and has made a big jump moving in with the injuries. But given all those injuries, to have the record they have, being on a pace still for 45 or 46 wins, has been a remarkable season. And for Thibodeau, you know, the continuing to get the team to play at that high level of defense, you know, has been another terrific coaching job. So kudos to him once again. But that seeding could change quite a bit. Brooklyn, I think, is the weakest in that bunch. I think that's who you mostly want to play. They've had injuries. They have the very limited bench, soft big man in Lopez, Joe Johnson hurt, Deron Williams whining about an injury. I mean, he's usually whining anyway, but apparently has an ankle injury or is on and off been hurt this season. So, you know, not only a team that's flawed, but a team that can fall. And Atlanta could move up ahead. And they've been a surprise team to me, too. I questioned whether they'd make the playoffs, given as many deals as they made, although it was a big positive to get rid of Marvin Williams. I think Utah realizes that now. But just looking at the Bulls, you know, I think they've got a winning record, at least a chance to win the season series over basically everybody but Indiana. 2-1 with Miami with a game left. 3-0 over the Knicks with a game back in Chicago next week. I think 2-1 over Brooklyn and Atlanta. So, you know, even though the team hasn't played, you know, at a tremendously high level, I mean, I don't think they can beat Miami in a series, but, you know, they obviously have played him well, beat him 2 out of 3. If he didn't cry publicly, I'm sure Chris Bosh cried privately about some of those losses. And so, you know, forget Rose. If they get the other guys healthy, if they could come back with Noah and Hamilton and Bellinelli with the way Butler has played and Robinson, you would think that, you know, they still have a chance to do something. I've doubted it, but, you know, that's a possibility for conference finals. And, you know, that's why the 4-5 spot and the way a lot of teams have looked at it is, is something you want to stay out of. But, you know, Thibodeau is not one to play, and nor any coach basically other than Don Nelson has ever done, although Memphis did a couple of years ago, threw some games at the end and got themselves the Spurs and ended up winning that series. So, you know, teams will do that. I remember a famous season several back in the 80s where Nelson dumped a bunch of games at the end of the season, got down to seven so he could get Utah. I think he put Tim Hardaway on Mark Eaton at the time and really bollock-stepped Utah's offense with the notion of, well, we've got a six-footer on a guy who's 7.5 foot tall. We better throw it to Eaton, who basically couldn't score anyway in an empty gym. So I think Golden State ended up winning that series. One of the many first-round wins for Don Nelson that never went any farther. But he is a Hall of Fame coach and a great innovator and will drink a beer with really better than anybody. So it's going to be interesting last couple of weeks in the East, you know, given that positioning, given the opportunity that all those teams believe they can beat each other. Indiana has sort of been pushed ahead. New York has had a big streak late in the season, even with Tyson Chandler out and Kenyon Martin being a good pickup. Hasn't apparently bitten the head off any teammates or live chickens thus far and hasn't tried to punch out his coach. But again, it's just the beginning of April. But given that, all those teams, Indiana, New York, Brooklyn, Atlanta, Chicago, and Boston too, you know, I mean, they have, in senility, you know, sometimes, you know, you sort of fantasize and you think you can do things and can't really remember that you didn't. Boston probably can't, but all the others can, and Milwaukee even. Milwaukee's a hot shooting team. Redick was a nice pickup. You know, if they can harness Brandon Jennings, who has been a little wacky lately, or most of his career, you know, they've got a lot of weapons. But, you know, any of those teams could knock off any and get into the conference finals. So the Eastern playoffs is setting up kind of interesting the way teams have been able to handle one another. And over in the West, you know, really with the moves that have been made, and now San Antonio losing Ginobili, I think it was an abdominal injury. As Brent Barry famously called him a few years ago, El Contusion. And that was for sort of his hustle and throwing himself on the floor. But eventually that comes back to catch up with you. We always wondered about it with Dwayne Wade, you know, who famously did his commercials about falling down seven times and getting up eight. Or was it falling down eight and getting up seven? I think that's a falling down eight, getting up seven is a future commercial when he doesn't get up that last time. But that stuff does have a cumulative effect, and Ginobili's been having his share of injuries, much like Heinrich. I mean, that's been the issue with Heinrich. I mean, he's been a player you see, you know, even though he doesn't have a high shooting percentage and not a high scoring player, his value, because not only because of being able to organize a team and run an offense and get the ball to the right people. You know, no coincidence that Luol Deng started performing again and scoring at a high level once Heinrich got back at point guard and gotten the job. But just if you watch him during a game, just spend the game or get a tape and just watch him do those, quote, little things, seal off a guy so somebody else can get a basket, you know, get in front of somebody on defense, overplay so they can't throw it into the post, any number of those little things. That's how games are won. Anyway, that said, in the Western Conference, you know, San Antonio is taking a little tumble with, you know, with guys out. Duncan is, you know, has been fabulous. And Tony Parker, you know, came back sooner from the ankle injury than many. But, you know, certainly, you know, I wouldn't say a flawed team, but a potentially vulnerable team given the quality of play. Oklahoma City has a shot to pass them. But, you know, and I guess they'll be able to, you know, if they get back to the finals, do a little nye-nye to everybody else about trading Harden, which we all predicted would sink them and may still and should, you know, because with Harden, you would think they would be far and away the leader. And probably I thought they would win the title last year, had more talent than Miami. If they had Harden, they would still have more talent than Miami. But Miami had the best player on the floor, as it turned out. So and also Oklahoma City wasn't ready for it. And as we could see, you know, Westbrook and Durant still have issues when the team gets defended, the question of where the ball is going to go, and it's certainly not moving much between them. You know, and then you get that next bunch down there with and the team that looks vulnerable, you know, most lately has been the Clippers. They're going to win the Pacific Division, They're probably going to set a record, franchise record, or they have, for the most wins in franchise history, I think, since the Buffalo Brave era. But they've been slipping a little bit. Injuries, obviously, you know, you see Chauncey Billups having trouble in and out. Chris Paul not able to carry him all the time. And then Blake Griffin not having developed, you know, the kind of post-game, the threat that you would think a player of his level can or should have. And Paul plays into that too, I think, mistakenly, plays into that dunk thing too much. And you're not going to get that much of that in the playoffs unless you play Denver. And, you know, that one of those series is sort of setting up, at least right now. But a lot of that will change. You know, Denver's lined up with Golden State now, but Houston has played well and will be a tough first round opponent for you know, one of those teams up there, be it Denver. Would be a wild series if they played Houston, the way Houston pushes the pace and Denver pushes the pace, Golden State. So there could be some really, you know, we always hear about the game's going to slow down and it's going to be a lot of fouls in the playoffs. And it's not going to be with those teams. Those teams are going to play open and make San Antonio vulnerable to any number of those teams because of style of play. San Antonio's better and more versatile now because of their bench, because of Kawhi Leonard, Green. You know, they've got some flexibility. And you know, with Tony Parker will push the ball, but keep up with some of those guys will be interesting. Oklahoma City obviously wants to be in that kind of game, quick shooting a lot. So I think, you know, I think we'll see that more in the West, you know, given the nature of the teams. Clippers, too, like to run, dunk, play. And so, you know, we're not going to see much slow play. Obviously, subject much of the season has been the Lakers. Tiresome, boring subject. I think by, you know, 70 games, what we figured out is they're not that good a team. Steve Nash having physical problems again. That trade's going to come back to haunt him. I mean, I understand why they made it. You know, they obviously knew Jerry Buss was dying, and they wanted to put together a championship run for one more time while Buss was still alive. So you can understand that. But now, you know, it's pretty clear that this is just simply not a very good team that doesn't fit together. Nobody, who knows what Dwight Howard will do. Because, you know, there's no figuring him based on the things he's done and said over the years. If I were him, I'd be much taller. But beyond that, I certainly wouldn't stay in L.A. It's pretty clear that he can't deal with a big market. He's not that level of player. He certainly doesn't have the personality for that market. He feels he has a personality, but it's kind of a goofball personality. You know, maybe more of closer to JaVale McGee than you know, then maybe Magic. So, but that said, you know, like a lot of them, he's in it for money too. There's more endorsement opportunities in LA, but although if you ask me, not with a bad team, and that is potentially a bad team. Utah, surprisingly to me, which is all that matters since I'm doing this, you know, sort of come up, and even though they lost Enes Kanter for the rest of the season, I think he's out with the injury, I think that sort of helped in the sense is be able to tighten the rotation now because Coach Tyrone Corbin has had trouble mixing as many guys in. You know, now they've got Favors and Millsap and Al Jefferson in a more solid front court rotation and sort of made a comeback. And I think having the tiebreaker, you know, they're looking like, you know, perhaps the favorite now to get that last spot, which would be, you know, and I think Dallas, even though they've played well enough to almost shave their beards, probably with the losing the tiebreakers, they're still not going to have the shot to get back there. So, but that would be a monumental failure if the Lakers, even with the injuries they've had, because Kobe's had a good season, obviously with Powell out, but, you know, and Howard not being at quite the level, but even, you know, still with all that talent to not be able to make the playoffs after the moves they've made and what they've given up, what's now could set up to two lottery picks for the Suns. Just be devastate the franchise. Guys will go there and play, but you're talking about a major rebuilding and, you know, Kobe deciding after next year whether he's going to play or not. So that'll be interesting in itself. Anyway, so it should make for last, you know, very entertaining last couple of weeks. We'll all be watching to see if anybody's trying to find somebody else because, you know, sometimes it comes, you better watch out for you ask for, which you might get it. Anyway, if I had said that better, I would write it down, but I didn't say it that well. I think the ballots come out this week for the awards. So maybe I'll get into that next week if I can figure out how I'm voting. I'll give you a hint. LeBron James is definitely going to be the MVP. But anyway, that's off the record. So anyway, thanks for tuning in, assuming you did. If you didn't, you didn't hear my thank you, so it doesn't matter. And I'll get back to you next week.